Hi, everybody. My name is Hafa Lombardino, and this is Translation Confessional. This is a quick message for all tech-oriented translators and interpreters out there. Let me tell you a bit about AppSumo. It's pretty much a hub for different apps and online programs that can help you streamline your work and become more productive and efficient. They have solutions in different categories: client management, marketing, productivity, sales, SEO, social media, and web development. In case you need help putting together a professional website that will make you stand out, they have different deals going on, so you can pay just a fraction of what these apps and programs go for in the real marketplace. Make sure you subscribe to their newsletter so you can stay on top of the new deals and tools that are constantly added up to their list. Well, if you'd like to check out AppSumo yourself, go to this webpage, bit.ly/tc-app-sumo. It's easy to remember. TC for Translation Confessional, then AppSumo. Once again, the webpage is bit.ly/tc-app-sumo. Hope you like it. Languages and personalities. There is a language-related subject that has always fascinated me. Do bilingual people or polyglots change the way they talk, behave, and think according to the language they're speaking? My parents say that I sound different when speaking Portuguese or English. I can't quite hear it, but they've known me since I was a baby, so they must know what they're talking about. My husband always makes fun of the fact that I sound angrier or more aggressive in Portuguese than in English. But it's more about the pace and tone of the voice than the actual content of the message. On the other hand, he also says that I act differently in each of my languages. I'm mostly all business when living in English, and way more relaxed when living in Portuguese. I attribute that perception of his to how I spend most of my time speaking each language. I usually conduct business in English and have a tight work schedule while in the United States. And I mostly speak to friends and family in Portuguese, and now spend my time vacationing while in Brazil. His perception could be totally different if things were the other way around, and we lived and worked in Brazil and came to the United States just to relax and have a good time. One thing I know for sure is that I don't actually cuss as much in Portuguese than I do in English. My parents always frowned upon the use of dirty words around the house. So the most I organically say in Portuguese are the equivalents of poop, you know? In English, within the proper context and with the right audience, of course, I do drop some F-bombs here and there, which I don't actually feel comfortable doing in Portuguese because of my upbringing. There are also very offensive words in English that don't quite bother me, because I acquired the vocabulary while learning my second language. The funny thing is, when I translate from Spanish to English and the original is peppered with slangs and dirty words, I feel way more comfortable doing that than I'd ever feel if I were translating either Spanish or English into Portuguese while using that kind of language and register. Come to think of it, because the Spanish I started consuming when I was a teenager was mostly from Spain, and they are deliciously creative when it comes to colorful language, I remember being among friends back in the day and getting the look when saying something dirty in Spanish. It was a very multicultural bunch: Latin Americans, Spaniards, Russians, Germans. Because we all understood Spanish, the conversation was being conducted in that language. I let out a "que está de puta madre, verdad?" And my friend's mom, who was visiting from Peru, gave me the same look that my parents would have given me if I had said something like that in Portuguese. I apologized and made a mental note to switch to something like está padrísimo or está buenísimo to keep my not-so-fluent Spanish as clean as possible. But because I don't organically think in Spanish, I tend to say whatever comes to mind in my real-time association. So that was the first expression I could think of to express myself in that moment. That's some food for thought. Maybe I discourage myself from speaking Spanish because I don't really have an identity in that language. I never got to live in a Spanish-speaking country. These almost 2 decades here in San Diego are the closest I've ever got to being in a Spanish-speaking environment. Well, there's also the fear that I'll end up speaking Portuñol, which is like Spanglish, but for Portuguese and Español. Having said that, my Spanish-speaking and my Italian-speaking personas are non-existent, while I do feel very comfortable in my own skin when speaking either Portuguese or English.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thinking of all that, because I didn't go to school to study linguistics, I majored in journalism back in the day, I never got around to reading more about this gut feeling about having a different persona when speaking a different language. This idea has only circled my head as an interesting thought, something drawn from my first-hand experience, not a concept supported by actual theories. However, as I was brainstorming new episodes here for Translation Confessional, serendipity struck again. I was taking a 5-minute break after completing my most recent task and started scrolling through Twitter to see what was up. That's when I came across a thread where translators were talking about this very same subject, and one tweet stood out to me. Italian translator Sonia De Martino mentioned she had written her dissertation in college about how someone's perspective changes based on the language they speak. This is actually called linguistic relativity, also known as Whorfianism, after Benjamin Lee Whorf, an American linguist who didn't come up with this hypothesis, but helped make it popular. The theory is also referred to as the Saper-Whorf hypothesis, giving credit to Edward Saper, an anthropologist and linguist who was originally born in what was then referred to as the Kingdom of Prussia, but was raised in the United States in the late 1800s. I read a summary of Sonia's dissertation, and she says she wanted to write about the subject because she noticed a change in her own behavior while speaking a language other than her native Italian. She also works with Spanish and English. And since I have all three as my working languages, I wanted to talk to her about the subject and learn more about her experiences. I interviewed Sonia to find out more about her dissertation, but also about her personal experience being an Italian living and working in Spain, and what changes she had noticed in her language use and behavior as a polyglot. After the break, I'll bring you some snippets of my conversation with Sonia. For the full interview, head on over to YouTube and check out the video version of this podcast. If you're like most translators, you'd rather spend your time translating than digging through your inbox in different Excel files. But too many translators spend hours every week manually managing their jobs and clients. Invoicing, financial tracking, and keeping track of all your jobs doesn't need to be so time-consuming. In fact, you can do it easily from one easy-to-manage platform made by and for translators. You can create and send quotes, manage your rates and services for each client, manage projects, and send invoices all from one place.
it automatically creates financial reports for you, so you always know the health of your business. Ready to stop wasting time on admin and start spending more time translating? Try LSP Expert for free for 30 days. Just type lsp.expert into your preferred browser and use the code HAFA for 15% off a new yearly subscription. Once again, the code is RAFA. Take control of your translation business admin today.
Hi, Sonia. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today. What time is it there?
It's 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. here. I just wanted to make sure my kids are still asleep, so there's no noise in the background. And I have my coffee, so I'm fully awake. So tell me a little about yourself, so we'll know about your experience.
So I graduated in 2016 in Italy in translation and interpretation. Then I moved to Barcelona, and I worked there in a translation agency as an account manager. And then after a while, 1 year or so, I moved to Valencia, where I live right now, where I worked as project manager and in-house translator. Then after a while, I was like, I need to pursue my dream. I need to be a freelance translator. So I did it. And now it's more or less 1 year and a half I've been freelancing. And this is pretty much my story as a translator.
Well, it's great that you had the experience to go from in-house to freelancing, because I'm sure you learned a lot on the job and then you could just go and do it by yourself. I always love hearing stories like that. And what language combinations do you do?
I translate from English, Spanish, and Catalan.
Oh, okay. And all into Italian.
Yes.
Before I actually get to ask you the question that, you know, prompted me to invite you for this interview, I just wanted to say that I just love your voice because I can hear the Italian, I can hear some Spanish, and I can hear a lot of the British English. So it's just fascinating how I can hear all your experience with languages and how you're talking to me right now. I love it. So I wanted to talk to you because I saw it on Twitter by chance. I was just, you know, killing some time and scrolling through. And then I saw this thread about personality and languages and fluency. And I saw your tweet about how you wrote a dissertation in college about exactly this subject. And it's fascinating to me. And I just wanted to hear more about it. So tell me how you came up with this idea to write about the subject and what you learned in the process. Tell me more about the theoretical part of it.
Yeah, it's called linguistic relativity or Whorfianism. And it's the main topic of my thesis. So I focused in my thesis on the perception of time, especially, but also emotions were in the melting pot. The thing is that it's not like the people just changes completely personality, but it changes the way we perceive reality. For example, one of the most interesting thing for me in the thesis is the perception of time. There's a population in South America called Aymara, and they see the future behind them. All the world basically except them. We see the future in front of us, but they think that the future is behind them because they don't know what is going to happen. Instead, the past is in front of them because they already know what happened, and they see it.
Fascinating.
And so the linguistic relativity thinks that people change the way they see reality, especially based on the linguistic traits, on linguistic adverbs, for example, some differences between English and Spanish, in the case we're talking about like much time or a long time. Long time is like length. And in Spanish, they say mucho tiempo. It's like volume, like a lot in volume. So
that's just incredible.
This is more or less gist of the thesis.
That's when I saw your tweet about it, I just had to talk to you because I've read some articles, but very superficially, I never got to study that. And people have tried to explain it to me from languages that I don't speak. So, for example, there was this Japanese to Spanish translator. And she was trying to explain to me how Japanese kind of sees time in a spiral, and it's not linear like we do in English and Spanish, that you have the subject, the verb, and the complement. So she was trying to explain to me. I kind of got the idea, but it's something I cannot practically understand because I don't speak Japanese. But it's amazing how different languages experience things differently.
Yeah. In fact, when I was thinking about the thesis, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do the thesis about. And then I had an idea and I was like, wait a moment. When you speak in Spanish, you are way more outgoing than you are in Italian. How is that? It's like it comes from a personal experience.
Really?
And it's true. Like nowadays that I live in Spain, it's like that my personality, none of this changed completely, but since I switched the language, I am more extrovert.
Wow.
And I am introvert in Italian, for example, mainly. And when I go back home, my family are like, whoa, what happened? What changed with you?
So your family actually noticed that you're more of an extrovert after living in Spain. When you go back to Italy, they notice that?
Yes. When I live here, I only speak Spanish. I don't get to speak Italian. Now with COVID, I couldn't go back to Italy. Usually I go back every 3-4 months. So when I go back there, sometimes I still have some words that I cannot recall in Italian. And I'm like, oh, I'm speaking in Spanish. And so, yeah, they notice that I'm more extrovert or slight changes.
Wow. My parents kind of made a comment like that I sound different in Portuguese or in English. My husband makes some jokes about that too, but I don't see that change in kind of the personality because I believe that I'm very introverted. I try to make an effort to talk to people and be more of an extrovert, but it's really exhausting sometimes when I go to conferences, for example. I love spending time with my translator friends. But it's, you know, people are still dancing around and jumping up and down, and I have no energy because it takes a lot out of me because I'm such an introvert. But it's just fascinating that you're telling me this. I really, really like this idea of how the language shapes your surrounding, and sometimes you don't even notice. It's people from the outside that see that difference in you.
Yeah.
And have you noticed anything else that is different, or have they told you something else that is different about you since you started living in Spain and speaking more Spanish?
Apart from the extrovert, also the way I speak with people, I shouldn't be saying this, but in Spanish, for example, they used to say more palabrotas, like bad words.
Yes, instead. I know.
And in Italian, we don't usually do that. So that this is a change that I noticed. My mom is not very happy with it, but hey.
That's my exact experience, but going from Portuguese to English. Yeah, I don't cuss a lot in Portuguese because I wasn't brought up that way, just, you know, to keep it clean. But in English, yeah, I cuss a lot more. So my parents can identify some of the cussing words here and there when I'm speaking English, like to my husband and when we're in Brazil. So yeah, they definitely don't like that.
Yes. Well, in English, for example, I happen to be more polite. Like, in general, I try to be very kind and polite with everybody. But in English, it's like that it gets to the next level. I don't know exactly why. It could be like I've studied in Cambridge. It was only one month I've went there to study English. I work in English, like basically with all my clients, I speak in English. And yeah, it could be because it's like a more formal thing for me.
I can totally relate to that too, because I conduct business in English. So I talk to my clients and I talk to translators. So it's funny because I feel more comfortable talking about translation in English. And in 2015, I went to Brazil to present at Abraches. It's the Brazilian Translators Association. And I remember I was very nervous. I've done so many presentations in English, but it was the first time I was doing it in Portuguese. And I remember just telling people, hey, if I'm talking too fast, because I know that I talk faster in Portuguese than I do in English, just, you know, stop me. Don't worry about interrupting me if something's not clear. Because I was really nervous of just making that effort to talk about my daily activities as a translator in Portuguese, because I mostly do it in English. So it's just interesting.
It happens the same to me, like, but on the other side, like, when I go back to Italy, I feel that I'm more comfortable speaking in Spanish than Italian. Like, I have been living here in Spain since 2016, since I graduated. So it has been, like, more or less 5 years. And the thing is that now I'm so used to speak in Spanish. My boyfriend is Spanish, that now my Italian is still there, of course. I use it every day. I try to watch TV series in Italian, but I feel more comfortable speaking in Spanish.
That's just fascinating. And how do you keep up with your Italian then, since you're away from Italy for a long time? How do you keep up with your native language?
I try to watch as many as possible TV series in Italian and also films in Italian. And I try to listen to podcasts or radio or even music in Italian, so I don't lose the fluency. Sometimes I even watch on Instagram, for example, stories from influencers that are Italian. I try to speak as much as possible with my Italian friends. I read in Italian. And of course, I need to switch from one to the other. Like 90% of my life is in Spanish. I really don't want to lose my mother language.
Yes.
I've heard from people that they're living abroad a lot of time. They started to lose their mother language.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot afford that being a translator.
Exactly.
So yeah, I try my best speaking as much as possible in Italian.
And that's the funny thing, because when I go to Brazil, my aunts and uncles, they're surprised that I still speak Portuguese, because it's been almost 2 decades now that I've been away from Brazil. But yeah, I can't really lose my native language. That's what I do for a living. If I don't keep up with Portuguese, I will just not be able to work at all.
Yes.
And what I do is the same thing that you said, consuming a lot of the media from my native language so I can keep up with new slangs and new expressions. I have a lot of translator friends who actually give me more input at the language level, not just as a Portuguese speaker, but someone that works with Portuguese. So it's great to just talk to them and pick their brain. I stalk them on social media to see what they're talking about, what they're watching, so I can try to consume the same kind of media and stay at the same level as they are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your afternoon to talk to me, because I really enjoyed the conversation. I really think that Translation Confessional listeners will enjoy too, because we went into a little bit of theory and a little bit of practice, and it's just fascinating to talk about the brain of bilingual people and the perception of reality and how we relate to our language and our surroundings. So thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your knowledge with me.
Thank you a lot for having me. It was so exciting for me as well. And this is so interesting also knowing you and your experience. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ciao. Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Bye. Send me an email at rlombardino@wordawareness.com or leave a voice message on my anchor page. If I get enough feedback and voice messages, I can go back to the subject and post a special podcast episode with everyone's opinion on this very same theme. By the way, my anchor page is anchor.fm/translation-confessional. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned for weekly episodes and subscribe to Translation Confessional through your favorite podcast app.